January 24th. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 48, verse 1, going through chapter 49, verse 33. What should believers do for their family before God takes them in death? Well, just what Jacob did. He praised God for the past. He told his family what God had done for him and how God had blessed him. God had redeemed him and shepherded him all his life. Jacob had been in some hard places, but the stone of Israel had been his refuge and defense. At the end of life, may we be able to say, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That's what it says in Psalm 34, verse 11. And Jacob gave a blessing while he could. Reuben's sin cost him the blessing of the firstborn, which went to Joseph's sons. Again, God changed the birth order as Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Joseph was disturbed by the move, but Jacob was right. We must never try to tell God how to bless other people. Note that Jacob crossed his arms. Is this perhaps a picture of the cross that sets aside the first birth and gives us a second birth? Something to ponder. And finally, he warned about the future. Chapter 49, as we read here today, is not a father's blessing on his sons. Rather, it's a prophecy of what the sons could expect in the future because of their individual characters and the decisions they had made. Reuben was the lustful prodigal son, but Levi and Simeon were angry elder brothers. Judah would be the royal tribe. For the Messiah, Shiloh, the peacebringer, would come from Judah. Joseph was the vine that went over the wall, separating Jews and Gentiles. He was shot at by his brethren, which often happens to those who are especially blessed of God. You can see it even today. But the Lord was with him. What a wonderful thing for the Lord to be with you. The Lord was with him, strengthened him, and extended his boundaries of blessing. Joseph suffered, and his sons were blessed by God. Reuben sinned, and his sons lost the blessing of God. And now let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. January 24th, Genesis chapter 48, verse 1, through chapter 49, verse 33. One day, not long after this, word came to Joseph that his father was failing rapidly. So Joseph went to visit him, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Jacob heard that Joseph had arrived, he gathered his strength and sat up in bed to greet him. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, 'I will make you a multitude of nations, and I will give this land of Canaan to you and your descendants as an everlasting possession. Now I am adopting as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will inherit from me just as Reuben and Simeon will. But the children born to you in the future will be your own. The land they inherit will be within the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh. As I was returning from Paddan, Rachel died in the land of Canaan. We were still on the way, just a short distance from Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So with great sorrow, I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath." Then Jacob looked over at the two boys. "Are these your sons?" he asked. "Yes," Joseph told him. "These are the sons God has given me here in Egypt." And Jacob said, "Bring them over to me, and I will bless them." Now Jacob was half blind because of his age and could hardly see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed and embraced them. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "I never thought I would see you again, but now God has let me see your children too." Joseph took the boys from their grandfather's knees, and he bowed low to him. Then he positioned the boys so Ephraim was at Jacob's left hand and Manasseh was was at his right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. So his right hand was on the head of Ephraim, the younger boy, and his left hand was on the head of Manasseh, the older. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May God, the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life, and the angel who has kept me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name and the names of my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac, and may they become a mighty nation." But Joseph was upset when he saw that his father had laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, so he lifted it to place it on Manasseh's head instead. "No, father," he said, "this one over here is older. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused. "I know what I'm doing, my son," he said. "Manasseh too will become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater. His descendants will become a multitude of nations." So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing: "The people of Israel will use your names to bless each other. They will say, 'May God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh.'" In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to Canaan, the land of your ancestors. And I give you an extra portion beyond what I have given your brothers, the portion that I took from the Amorites with my sword and bow." Then Jacob called together all his sons and said, "Gather around me, and I will tell you what is going to happen to you in the days to come. Come and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel your father. Reuben, you are my oldest son, the child of my vigorous youth. You are first on the list in rank and honor. But you are as unruly as the waves of the sea, and you will be first no longer. For you slept with one of my wives. You dishonored me in my own bed. Simeon and Levi are two of a kind, men of violence. O my soul, stay away from them. May I never be a party to their wicked plans. For in their anger they murdered men, and they crippled oxen just for sport. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. Cursed be their wrath, for it is cruel. Therefore, I will scatter their descendants throughout the nation of Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will defeat your enemies. All your relatives will bow before you. Judah is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who will dare to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will obey. He ties his foal to a grapevine, the colt of his donkey to a choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine, because his harvest is so plentiful. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. Zebulun will settle on the shores of the sea, and will be a harbor for ships. His borders will extend to Sidon. Issachar is a strong beast of burden, resting among the sheepfolds. When he sees how good the countryside is, how pleasant the land, he will bend his shoulder to the task and submit to forced labor. Dan will govern his people like any other tribe in Israel. He will be a snake beside the road, a poisonous viper along the path that bites the horse's heels so the rider is thrown off. I trust in you for salvation, O Lord. Gad will be plundered by marauding bands, but he will turn and plunder them. Asher will produce rich foods, food fit for kings. Naphtali is a deer let loose, producing magnificent fawns. Joseph is a fruitful tree beside a fountain, His branches reach over the wall. He has been attacked by archers, who shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained strong, and his arms were strengthened by the mighty one of Jacob, the shepherd, the rock of Israel. May the God of your ancestors help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the earth beneath, and blessings of the breasts and womb. May the blessings of your ancestors be greater than the blessings of the eternal mountains, reaching to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. These blessings will fall on the head of Joseph, who is a prince among his brothers. Benjamin is a wolf that prowls. He devours his enemies in the morning, and in the evening he divides the plunder. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, and these are the blessings with which Jacob blessed his 12 sons. Each received a blessing that was appropriate to him. Then Jacob told them, "Soon I will die. Bury me with my father and grandfather in the cave in Ephron's field. This is the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, which Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite for a permanent burial place. There Abraham and his wife Sarah are buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah are buried. And there I buried Leah. It is the cave that my grandfather Abraham bought from the Hittites." Then, when Jacob had finished this charge to his sons, he lay back in the bed, breathed his last, and died. January 24th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 29. We'll go through chapter 16 and verse 12. We'll read about hungry people. The disciples had already forgotten the miracle of feeding the 5,000. It is amazing to us as we hear this how they could have forgotten such a momentous thing. When you're faced with a crisis, take time to review His past mercies. Remind yourself that He does not change. Try to respond to people today the way Jesus responded. Ask Him for discernment. Are you guilty of some misunderstandings about the times in which we live? People believe the weather report, but not God's word. It's amazing. They fail to see what God is doing in His world. Keep your eyes open and ask God for wisdom to understand His plan. Another misunderstanding: false doctrine. Jesus compared false doctrine to yeast. It appears small and insignificant, but it grows secretly and soon permeates everything. The only remedy is to remove it. Well, let's find out what this is all about here as we read in the New Testament. January 24, Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 29, through chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought him the lame, blind, crippled, mute, and many others with physical difficulties. And they laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking around. And those who had been blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the road." The disciples replied, "And where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness for all of them to eat?" Jesus asked, "How many loaves of bread do you have?" They replied, "7 and a few small fish." So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, broke them into pieces, and gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate until they were full, and when the scraps were picked up, there were 7 large baskets of food left over. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat and crossed over to the region of Magadan. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus' claims by asking him to show them a miraculous sign from heaven. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You're good at reading the weather signs in the sky, but you can't read the obvious signs of the times. Only an evil, faithless generation would ask for a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then Jesus left them and went away. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any food. "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They decided he was saying this because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you worried about having no food? Won't you ever understand? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of food that were left over? Don't you remember the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves with baskets of food left over? How could you even think I was talking about food? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about yeast or bread, but about the false teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Psalm chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. We'll read about a day of trouble. David was going out to battle, and he and his people gathered to pray. His secret of victory was the name of the Lord, the Lord he worshipped sincerely and sacrificially. We'll read about a day of triumph. Again, it is in the name of the Lord that you fight the forces of evil. God hears and answers prayer and sends you the help you need. You can count on it. And we'll read about a day of trust. David had a great name, but the name of the Lord is much greater. Some people have names that cannot be trusted, but God's name has never failed. Your days of trouble can become days of triumph if you trust in the name of the Lord. Psalm 20, verses 1 through 9. For the choir director, a psalm of David. In times of trouble, may the Lord respond to your cry. May the God of Israel keep you safe from all harm. May he send you help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory, flying banners to honor our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven and rescue him by his great power. Some nations boast of their armies and weapons, but we boast in the Lord our God. Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. Give victory to our King, O Lord. Respond to our cry for help. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart, for they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay far from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil.